Scotch Potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
This week it is time for despicable things to happen in the box office.
Yes, a few things.
With Despicable Me 2 coming out, we've got The Lone Ranger. Or there was an old ad in Columbus where they called it The Lone Arrangers. It was for some...
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Some car. I think
yes,
it was a car dealership.
I think so, yeah.
Late night TV, and I can't... I keep wanting to say it.
The Lone Ranger.
I don't even think they're in business anymore. I don't even think this company's in business, but it, like, burned that into my brain, and I resent them for it. But The Lone Ranger is there, and there's an independent film that I had a chance to check out, Best Friends Forever. We're going to talk about that later in the show. We also have some news and some DVDs and Blu-rays, so you know, it's going to be kind of a nice little show, a little low-key.
Yeah, it's kind of a quiet week this week.
Yeah.
Not a lot going on.
But we'll be rolling into summer. There's going to be some pretty heavy weeks coming up. But for right now, if you want to get a hold of us, you can email us at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. You can find us on the internet at fatguysatthemovies.com or facebook.com/FGATM. And if you want to interact with me, you can go to twitter.com/KevinCarr.
And I'm KDK Reviews.
All right, let's just roll right in here. We're going to talk about the box office, which is going to dovetail into a greater discussion of other things. The winner this weekend, Kristen noticed I have shorts on. I didn't exactly do a big burka or a burnous.
You're not wearing your victory dance wardrobe.
No.
This week, no.
I was a little off.
Yeah, strangely, White House Down did not make $600
trillion. $682
trillion. Yes.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
And you said it was going to make $60
million. Which I was persuaded. I was saying that before we started the show, that I actually had Monsters University down in my notes, but I was so bowled over by Kevin's just overwhelming confidence in this movie that I was like, okay, fine. But no, I should have gone with my gut.
Yep. Monsters University ended up winning $46 million for the weekend, which is that's pretty strong for a second weekend for a sequel like that. Now, I will point out that there's a less of a difference between the $682 trillion. If you talk percentage-wise, the difference between the $46 million for Monsters, Inc. and the $100 million that I was saying White House Down would get. Those are pretty close. That's about the same margin of error
anymore.
As, you know, I'm just finding a way to declare victory. Mm-hmm. I was way off. Even on my realistic, I said like $100 million because I was just – that's the problem is it's so hard to judge these when you go to some of these screenings.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the screening of White House Down, I swear to God, I thought people were going to
– People really get into screenings sometimes.
It's crazy. I mean, crazy.
It's amazing what a free screening can whip up in people.
I mean, people were cheering. It's like when we saw Fast and Furious 6. There was a woman in front of her. She just had her arms in the air, and she's waving and cheering. And so I was expecting it to do a lot better than it did, because it came in at, what, number 4?
Oh, yeah, it's way down there.
Roland Emmerich, I am disappointed in you.
I know. Roland Emmerich. I think Anonymous probably did better than this one.
It may have.
I'm just saying.
I think it may have. Because that's – and I don't know how much of it was because of Olympus Has Fallen, kind of whether that stole any of it, because it's the same
movie.
Yeah,
I've seen all kinds of reports on that, what happened to this movie.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's one of them. You know, people have already seen this movie this year, so
yeah. But they had – but The Heat was the big surprise. It made $39 million. For the weekend, it wasn't enough to beat Monsters Incorporated, or University. But it's an interesting number because it's the largest opening for either Sandra Bullock or Melissa McCarthy. And you can count Hangover 3 for Melissa McCarthy, but she was just a minor one scene character in that
right.
movie. But Sandra Bullock, even if you take Speed, from the 90s and adjust it for inflation, The Heat still made more money, which is insane.
Yeah,
because it's an awful
and
movie.
Kind of sad.
It's a terrible film.
Thank you.
That's one thing we definitely can agree on.
After my rant last week, I was a little worried because Kevin went and saw it over the weekend. And
yeah.
I was like, we'll see.
No, it's awful. Because
Kevin could go either way. You never know.
Yeah.
No.
It's bad.
It's terrible.
And then everything just kind of falls down there. The other, you know, with, you know, World War Z was number 3 with 30 million. That's actually hanging on.
Mm-hmm.
Man of Steel. Man of Steel dropped 50%, which is a pretty large drop for a movie like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's cracked 500 million worldwide.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, I think Warner Brothers and DC Comics are okay with all that.
You know, and the sequel's coming out next year. So.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be out in January.
Yeah.
So, you're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kevin Carr and Christian Dreyer Kramer. One thing I wanted to note about the heat in the box office, the box office was in heat this weekend. Never gets old. Or maybe it does. I did a radio call last week, and there was a, when I was doing my movie reviews, and I just review the movies as they come, I don't think about sort of necessarily how they really relate to each other. And I gave White House Down a positive. I mean, they're all, it was middling, but it was a positive review. I said it's fun summer movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said the heat was like really awful. And they had a comedian in the studio, and they're notorious for just mixing things up. And he basically asked, you know, wait, because that's a movie with women in it, and mm-hmm. you gave it a better. Does that mean you're a sexist? And I was kind of blindsided by that.
Did you tell them that I hated it too?
I didn't, but I should have.
You should have.
Because you were on that side of not liking that at all.
Yeah.
My response was, well, I hate all just bad buddy cop movies, whether it's Cop Out or Hollywood Homicide or pretty much anything that has Martin Lawrence in it. Because he does a lot of buddy. Could you realize how many he did?
He does a lot.
He did the Bad Boys movies, Blue Streak. He did The Big Mama's House. Those are basically buddy cop. Like the third one was a buddy cop film.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But that brings up a bigger question because a lot of people are saying, you know, is this feminism, is this modern, is this neo-feminism? Because you have women being crass and crude and dropping F-bombs and leading movies. Because they actually were really, Fox was not convinced to put two women in the role initially. And it's only the second all-female buddy cop movie. The first one being Feds with Mary Gross and Rebecca De Mornay in 1989,
wow.
I think.
Yeah, wow.
What do you think?
Yeah.
You're a woman.
I know I am. And I know that part of me, because there are women out there who are like, yes, this is a big win for women because, you know, women can be cops. And women in this movie are not good people.
No.
They are horrible people, and they really don't act like women at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty much a movie that was written about men and for men, and they just put a couple of women in the roles instead because there's nothing really different about these characters at all.
Yeah.
And just the fact that, you know, they can drop F-bombs, well, that's great. You know?
We can do that.
Yeah. Well, not on the radio.
No.
But it doesn't feel natural. It doesn't feel comfortable at all. It just feels really awkward and out of place.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm all for women in film. All for it. You know, I think we should have more female directors, more writers, more movies for women.
Because there wasn't a female director on this one.
Right. But, you know, if you're going to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am also very supportive of good movies by women.
Yeah. I think Hollywood, for as progressive as it puts itself out there as being, is incredibly sexist. Really sexist.
Terribly.
And run sexist, too.
Yeah.
And even the women who are making those decisions are sometimes making incredibly sexist decisions on behalf of males. And I find it amazing that every time a movie comes out that's geared towards women or involves women, that people are shocked. I mean, shocked, I tell you, that it did well. Yet you have to look back and say, well, wait a minute. The entire Twilight series is geared completely towards women, one of the biggest series ever.
Mm-hmm.
The Harry Potter movies, which are arguably aimed very squarely at women, even though they're, you know, the whole doesn't pass the Bashir test and doesn't have that. It has a male lead.
Right.
But you had movies like Magic Mike, which was a huge female audience movie. Again, it basically showed that women are just as despicable as men and like to see the opposite sex prancing around half naked.
Yeah.
But it blows my mind when they're like, what? Women go to movies? I'm like, women always go to movies.
Yeah.
And in fact, some of these movies do incredibly well. It doesn't have to be Yaya, the Yaya Sisterhood or Traveling Pants that are going to get women to the box office.
No, and in that way, you know, I can appreciate a movie like this. It's just like Bridesmaids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Bridesmaids was a huge movie. I didn't like it.
Yep.
But it reminded Hollywood that women still see movies.
Yep, definitely.
And, you know, you can put women in roles and you can make movies for women and about women and people will see them.
Yep. All right. On that note, we're going to go to a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Despicable Me 2.
Time that I get my way, steamrolling whatever I see. Oh, despicable me.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
We love women. I just want to put that out there.
I'm on a show called Fat Guys at the Movies. I mean, we can't be that sexist here.
Yeah, we're not exactly holding the bed up to like high principles and standards. Are you a man? Are you fat? Do you sit on the couch? Do you watch movies? You should listen to the show.
Hmm.
Women, too.
Where do I fit in, then?
I have no idea. You work in the show. It's great. You do a great job. And we just got to work on that fat business.
I know. I have my own little personal trainer at home, and it's not going very well.
Oh, okay.
I spend a lot of time chasing a toddler around the house. I've got to eat more donuts.
I need to, like, wake up at, like, 7 in the morning and force-feed you pancakes.
I love pancakes.
Every day. Mm. That's how Sylvester Stallone gained weight for Copland.
Well, there you go. I've got a lot of birthday cake coming up this week.
Ooh.
So it's my daughter's first birthday, so we'll be having lots of cakes in the next couple of weeks.
Are you going to get a smash cake for her?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
That's always cool.
Yeah. Because there's no way I'm letting her loose on the other cake that we got because I want to eat that one.
Well, there's always that 50-50 chance with kids that they'll actually not smash the smashed cake.
Mm.
Our oldest, he just sort of touched it. And then what ends up happening is the family, they'll start smearing it on her face if she doesn't.
Oh, she will.
She will.
She is a messy eater. Yes.
You have full
confidence. Yesterday
confidence.
Was not bath day, but she got a bath because her hair was full of pear gel.
Pear gel.
A pear gel, yes. It was all pear, all in her hair. So she got an extra bath yesterday.
Ah, she succumbed to pear pressure.
So, yes, there will be no problem with the cake. I hope the frosting is bright colored.
Nice. Nice.
So, yeah, maybe we should talk about some movies.
Maybe.
Should we talk about movies?
Yes.
Okay. First up, we have Despicable Me 2. Retired supervillain and adoptive father Gru, voiced by Steve Carell, is recruited by the Anti-Villain League to track a dangerous new threat.
We are the Anti-Villain League, dedicated to fighting crime on a global scale. A new villain has surfaced. You know how a villain thinks. That's why we brought you here.
Pins and needles.
I am the League's director, Silas Ramsbottom.
Bottom.
Hilarious.
Now, what did you think of the first Despicable Me?
I anticipated it would be terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing the ads and just saying, this movie looks ridiculously terrible.
Yeah.
And then I saw it, and I absolutely fell in love with it.
Mm-hmm.
It became one of my favorite movies of that year, 2010, 2009? Mm-hmm.
2010, yeah.
And it was topping my list. I loved it. I was very excited for the sequel. Do you like it, too? I think you did.
The first one. Yeah, I liked it when I saw it. And the same thing with you. I thought it was going to be terrible.
Mm.
And I enjoyed it. And I think every time I've watched it since then, it's just gotten better. I swear I've seen it 5 or 6 times.
It's very sweet.
It is. And it's funny and it's smart.
Yeah.
And it's surprisingly wicked.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yep.
So, yeah, I was really excited about the sequel, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it does a pretty good job.
Okay.
For me, it's not quite as good as the first one, but the characters are different, and you have to kind of roll with that. But it's still charming. I mean, I love those little girls. And Gru is a completely different person as a dad. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how they open it. They open it, and it's, you know, one of the little girls, it's her birthday party, and he has to dress up like a fairy princess, and he's all worried about, you know, taking care of his kids. And that's adorable.
Yeah.
It is. The story is kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
It's a little spastic.
A bit.
And there are about 15 different stories, but it's still fun.
Hmm?
And it's still funny and enjoyable.
I think this is the kind of movie that when I see it on Blu-ray in a couple months, I'm going to like it a lot more than I did.
Hmm.
And part of the problem I had with it is you're coming down from, whereas I was thinking the first one was going to suck.
Oh, yeah.
And it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I was super excited for this one. And I thought the trailers were really good.
Mm-hmm.
They really teased it well. And then I'm like, yeah, this isn't that good. You know, it's sort of like eating, you know, you're so excited to get this this food you remember getting as a kid, and you get like this pudding that you remember getting to eat it. And you're
Superman
like,
ice cream.
It's not that good. It kind of tastes weird, and I have a metal taste in my mouth, and there was something chewy in there. I don't know what that was. And I realized sitting back from it, there's elements of this movie that I absolutely adored.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Minions. The Minions can do no wrong in my mind. And I loved Gru in it. I thought Gru was great, and when they had the whole story with him as a, you know, trying to capture the supervillains and that sort of thing. However, it plays out like an Ice Age sequel. And if you watch the Ice Age sequels, a lot of the same feelings I have with things, you watch them. Scrat is amazing in those movies. Every single Ice Age, you can do wall-to-wall Scrat, which is Sabretooth, not Scat. The saber-toothed squirrel from the Ice Age. I love anything that he does. I'm behind, and I love it. But what the Ice Age movies always fall into is they had this cast of characters in the first movie that all worked, and they all fit in the story.
Mm-hmm.
And Madagascar does this, too, where the penguins are great, and then they have all these characters.
Mm-hmm.
Then they do a sequel, and they're like, oh, my gosh, we got way more characters than we do have story.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas in the first one, it's about Gru learning to become a dad.
Right.
And his heart melting and becoming, you know, falling in love with these little girls. The girls really have no place in this, because in the general story.
Right. And they're forced in there.
Yeah.
There are a couple little side stories that they push the girls into. And yeah, it is a little bit awkward. When they throw that in, it doesn't really fit as well.
And then it's a whole thing of him trying to find a mom for the girls, and they've got the character, and she's played by Kristen Wiig. It's not even Kristen Wiig. Although she irritates me now. I liked her when she was famous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, when she was just showing up in side parts. But that whole storyline just was so forced and painful, and it just kind of detracted from everything. It felt like the story that they cram in for Diego in the Ice Age movies, the saber-toothed tiger, who never has anything important to do in any of the movies aside from the first one. And I would just get so phenomenally bored with it. That then when they kind of got to Gru and the Minions and the other stuff, I was into it, but then I'd go, but then the kids show up, and I love the little girls, but they kind of just didn't have a place in there.
It's true.
And so I was, I guess, more disappointed. I really came down hard on this movie because I was wanting it to be so much better. And I think now when I watch it on Blu-ray, I'll be like, oh, it was kind of charming.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hate it.
And I guess that's the thing with me. The first one had to grow on me, too. Mm-hmm. I liked it the first time I saw it.
Yeah.
But I wasn't as enthusiastic about it as I am now.
Yeah.
You know, it took me two or three times before I felt absolutely, totally head over heels in love with it.
Sure.
So, yeah, it could be the same thing with this one. It's still not as good.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a pretty charming sequel.
Sounds good. What's your final grade?
My final grade is it kind of rocks.
Yeah, mine is, I'm leaning on it kind of sucks on this one.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Harsh.
Anyways. We got about, you're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. We got about a minute, and we wanted to point out a story that you had brought up this week.
Yeah, there was a little thing popped up that about Pixar.
Yes.
And they were saying how from now on they're going to focus on their original stories instead. Mm-hmm. So from now on, one original story a year, and they'll throw in a sequel maybe every other year.
And I think they got in the trouble because they've been getting a lot of bad press because it was like Cars 2, Monsters University,
Toy Story 3,
and the Finding Dory. And
Finding Nemo 46. Yeah, they'll just keep coming.
And while for the most part I think I've been okay with the Pixar sequels, it can really circle the drain quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But oddly enough, like Brave last year, which did win the Academy Award, actually got really bad reviews because people didn't like the original story.
Yeah, who knows? I liked it.
I like women. So I approve of that movie. As long as Kristen Wiig wasn't anywhere near it.
I'm a mother with a little girl. I liked it.
Yes. Anyways, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Lone Ranger. Welcome back to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
Hello.
We just got done talking about Despicable Me and he had a split vote on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the next new movie. There is another movie. There's that Kevin Hart
Oh, right, yeah.
He has a stand-up
You would think
special.
For all of the press releases that I've gotten about that I would have remembered it.
I always forget. Well, they don't screen these things for us anyways. And
I get about 6 emails a day about it, though.
That's true. But, I mean, like, Kevin Hart, he did what was the one he did a couple, like, a year or so ago, and it was a really incredibly well-received and did very well. It's like, let me explain. What's the one? I don't know what they're called. It's another Kevin Hart special.
Yep.
And it's only opening in 800 theaters, but I mean, he has an audience, and he sort of, I believe he just, I think it's Code Black Entertainment that releases his stuff. And they're a much smaller company, so just getting it out in the theaters, people like Kevin Hart.
There you go.
And he's funny. So, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be fine.
It's going to be fine.
It's going to be good.
It'll be just fine.
So, yeah, but he kind of came, I mean, he's always been in stand-up, but he suddenly just blew up doing these theatrical comedy specials.
Well, there you go.
He was in, like, Think Like a Man.
Uh-huh.
He's been in Things. He knows people.
Things and stuff.
But, yeah, so there's that, which I'm sure is actually probably going to win the weekend. Anyways.
We'll get to that later.
We'll talk about the other movie.
$600 trillion.
The Lone Ranger. Gore Verbinski directs Pirates of the Caribbean's Golden Child Johnny Depp in this original, Golden Child Johnny Depp in his origins with his sidekick, the Lone Ranger.
The men you seek think you are dead. Better to stay that way.
You want me to wear a mask?
Justice is what a man must take for himself.
You're dead.
Not yet.
Who's a ranger?
Riding a white horse.
Got some lunatic Indian with him.
They come for you.
If these men represent the law, I'd rather be an outlaw.
Woo!
That was the most convoluted blurb of a movie I think I've ever written. And then tried to read.
Yeah. I don't know, because I read that in the notes and I had no idea what you were talking about there.
My joke on that was that basically the movie's about Tonto. And the Lone Ranger is kind of a sidekick.
Pretty much.
And what's really funny is if you watch the ads, like the trailers, they're like showing the how it all started with the legendary character. And when they say it, it's Tonto, 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 Tonto. Yeah. And then like 30 seconds later, cut to the Lone Ranger.
Hey, Johnny Depp's in this movie. And some other guy.
Why didn't they just have Johnny Depp play the Lone Ranger?
I don't know. When I first heard that he was going to be in the Lone Ranger, I thought he was playing the Lone Ranger. And okay.
He's not.
No, he's not.
He plays the most racist Indian ever.
Well, it is Tonto.
Anyways, this is what's interesting about the Lone Ranger.
What is interesting about this? I would like to hear it.
I've never seen a Lone Ranger anything before this. I've never watched the old TV show.
No, I haven't either.
I've never seen a movie. I never listened to the radio program or anything like that.
I had a feel for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what it is. Mm-hmm. It's a guy on a horse, a white horse, and he's sort of like the outlaw lawkeeper.
Yes.
So I had no pretext going in, really.
No preconceived notions.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's interesting is I ended up sitting during our screening. I sat next to the former Ohio film commissioner.
Oh.
I know him. Wow. I saw him come in. I'm like, hey, he sat down next to me. And he's a huge Lone Ranger fan.
Okay.
So he was kind of like iffy about it because it's not like the original. It's not like what he grew up with and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge movie. And it has huge scenes.
Yes.
It has huge action movies, action sequences.
A couple.
Huge characters. It also has huge plot holes.
Oh,
and
yes.
Huge scenes of awkward dialogue.
And huge lapses of absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, I looked at my watch when the actual story started.
Mm-hmm.
Like when everything comes together and they finally go out and they have their mission. It was an hour into the movie. An hour.
Wow.
Yeah.
Still, you knew what the story was about. It's better than Heat. Or The Heat.
I kind of know what the story's about. It's not a 2.5 hour long story, though.
Well, part of it is it's framed in this flashback from Tonto. It's Tonto's movie. He's in the 30s as an old man.
Which, again, makes absolutely no sense. There's no reason for this whole framing.
Yeah. And I'm like, why didn't you just cut that out? You could have just told the movie. And it's one of those.
And you could have saved 20 minutes to a half hour.
Yeah.
Just by cutting that out.
It's a Gore Verbinski thing where I think he wanted to do it. And since it's sort of like watching the third Pirates movie. which goes on for 3 hours, and there's a lot of stuff that they don't need.
Right.
There's also a lot. Part of it is I didn't know what to make of this movie because it's pretty dark and gritty.
It's really uneven.
Yeah.
Because you have your moments when it's okay. It's a Johnny Depp movie, and Johnny Depp's going to be crazy, and he's kind of a clown, and he does his silly things, and then all of a sudden it's really serious and really dark, and people are dying in horrible ways. Mm-hmm.
And they have, like, the most evil villain.
What are they trying to do here? Yeah.
But then they throw in these things where there's tongue-in-cheek humor where they're making goofy jokes. And there's a scene where Armie Hammer's character, he's pulled up by a horse, and his head drags through horse poop.
Yeah.
And there's, like, kind of like for the next 20 minutes as there's throughout the heat, there's constant, oh, your head stinks kind of references. Yeah.
And I don't know if Gore Verbinski couldn't decide what kind of a movie he wanted to make.
Yeah.
So he just, like, flipped a coin before making every scene, because that's how it feels to me. Like, some of them were just so playful and fun and silly. Very Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, because they were playful and they were Johnny Depp being silly. And then you just have, all of a sudden, just this really serious action movie that it was a little off-putting.
And then they go into, like, very cheeky humor, which seems like they're aiming for a real, real young crowd, too.
Yeah.
And what I find interesting about it is it did suffer from rewrite problems. I don't know if you ever heard these stories. They were originally going to have werewolves in it. And you can see, if you see what happened, where they kind of have this nod to some weird stuff happening on
right.
the range.
Yeah.
But I don't know, and Gore Verbinski had, like, downplayed that and said that wasn't happening. But apparently in an earlier draft, because they have Wendigos in it and werewolves and these sort of mystical creatures.
Yeah.
And it gets really downplayed in this one. And I think because that just set people off saying, the Lone Ranger, that's bizarre, having werewolves. I know silver bullets and all, but. So I don't know. With all that said, I have to say I didn't hate the movie. I didn't hate it.
I think the last 30 minutes for me was exactly what the film should have been.
Yeah.
It was playful and it was action-packed and it was, you know, it still had the action and the adventure and it was funny and, you know, that whole action sequence was exactly what the rest of the film should have been.
Yeah.
For me, it was like a really long 2-hour build-up to one really cool 30-minute scene.
Yeah. Well, I think part of the problem with that is they're going to, and I rail on origin stories all the time.
Mm-hmm.
What happens with an origin story is you spend so much time having to say who this person is and how they got there and why it's important,
right.
especially for something like The Lone Ranger, which hasn't been on any screen for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And 30 years ago, they made a really awful Lone Ranger movie. But they needed to do that because that's nobody really. I mean, people know the very general thing about who it is. That's a guy in a mask and an Indian who's helping him, or Native American who's helping him out. So they went through, they go through this long, convoluted story to get there.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like I said, I didn't hate it. I mean, I'm actually giving it a kind of rocks. And I know it's like I probably didn't like it as much as I'll end up liking. When I see them, this and Despicable Me 2 on DVD and Blu-ray, I'll probably like them more or less better.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of lean towards enjoying part of it for no other reason than I wasn't expecting a whole lot.
Well, I'm going to split on this one again, and I'm going to say it kind of sucks.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah.
All right, we got a little less than a minute. What do you think's going to win the weekend?
I'm going to give it to Despicable Me 2.
Okay.
And it's such a crazy holiday weekend. I don't know what numbers. So I'll leave it $600
trillion. $600
trillion? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give Despicable Me 2 $60 million for the 3-day.
Yeah, I didn't know what numbers we were saying, so yeah. I just kind of left that part blank.
Yeah, because
you never know with holiday weekends, because it opens on Wednesday.
And then 4th of July was on Thursday,
yeah.
So it's you don't know. It's kind of a mess.
Yeah.
But I don't think the Lone Ranger is going to win, and I don't think White House Down is going to come back and win.
I think Despicable Me is going to take it. $1 billion!
All right. With that, we're going to go to a break, and we come back, DVDs.
It hurts.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
The Lone Rangers!
Yes! We've got some split decisions this week.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Now we're going to Indian wrestle in the next episode.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen.
Is it racist to say Indian wrestle now?
There are a lot of things that you can't say anymore.
Oh.
Remember when we were in school and we used to sit Indian style?
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore.
You know what they call it now?
Crisscross applesauce.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make it the dumbest sounding thing ever.
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Because they didn't have chairs back then. Is it Native American style? Are you allowed to say that?
I don't know. I guess not.
Okay.
Mm.
Just checking.
Yeah.
All right. The next movie we're going to talk about, this is something that is, it just kind of fell into my lap for something, and I figured it'd be neat to cover it. It's a neat little movie. It's called Best Friends Forever, in which Brie Grant stars in, writes, and directs a film about two women on a road trip during the apocalypse.
This is your first road trip. I planned a very special scenic route.
Only you would start a road trip on the first day of the apocalypse.
Not attempt to leave your homes. The governor has declared martial law.
No water left. Everyone's gone crazy.
Don't you know it's dangerous to be outside right now?
You're sorry. What is wrong with you?
I know that it can feel dark sometimes. But I'm your best friend.
Now, this is a movie about women.
It is a movie about women, majority made by women. Actually.
There you go.
Directed by a woman. And it does not feature Melissa McCarthy.
Amen to that.
It is a very independent film. It was partially crowdfunded shot on 16mm, Super 16mm, which is kind of rare nowadays.
Yeah, it is.
Especially for an independent movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because these independent movies, it's way cheaper to go digital.
Well, yeah.
So they shot it on actual film.
Interesting.
And it's available on iTunes. It was at the Slamdance Film Festival. It's available on iTunes now. And it is basically that. It's these two young women who they go on a road trip and they don't realize that like a nuclear bomb has gone off in Los Angeles after they left because they're kind of out in the desert and sort of isolated. It's an interesting little movie because it's not when you do an independent film, you stray away from the big spectacle because you just don't have the budget.
Right.
You know, they don't have the massive city destruction that you see. If this were an apocalypse movie, you'd see a lot of that. In a way, it kind of reminded me of Seeking a Friend for the End of the World, which came out last year, because that one also similarly did not do the big apocalyptic destruction scenes.
Right.
And so it's forced to focus on the characters. I thought this works better and the characters are a little more believable because it does show these two women and sort of what their personal relationship is. And they've kind of already living in the distance from their lives anyways. And so the apocalypse comes at a distance. And they sort of just run into all these things along the way. They run into, like, the crazy, you know, overly zealous person who puts a religious angle on everything. They run into just bandits on the road in the form of a hipster band.
Nice.
That's like they're faking the hipster band. And they run into, you know, people abusing authority and that sort of thing. And it's an interesting snapshot of what – it seems so realistic because – people would have an underwhelming reaction to the apocalypse, especially if it wasn't happening right in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of like that. I thought that was a neat take on it. Now, if every single movie was like that, it would have probably gotten tiring. But this one I thought was kind of – and it escalates at times and it gets kind of dark because, you know, stuff happens during the apocalypse.
Well, yeah, it's the apocalypse.
Yeah. So it does escalate.
Just as Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff happens during the apocalypse.
Well, that's the thing. You've got This Is the End. You've got The World's End coming up later this year.
The world is ending like 4,000 times this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And every big movie, like from Superman to Star Trek, has cities getting wiped off the map.
Yeah.
So this is a different take on it. And I thought that was kind of cool. So if you have a chance to check it out on iTunes, you can check it out on iTunes and various other on-demand features. It should be available now.
All right.
As well. So I give it a kind of rocks. But that's that. So let's move on to the next movie, or the next thing we got to do, because you're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. And it has come time in the show for what we like to call the world famous
DVD Roundup.
Yeehaw.
Woo.
Just like the Lone Ranger.
The Lone Ranger.
The Lone Rangers. Oh, my God. All right.
There's not much to talk about this week.
Yeah, it's kind of thin.
Yeah, it's holiday week.
Yeah, that's the thing, because who wants to release a big video release 2 days before the 4th of July?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Clearly.
One I want to point out, because I missed this the other week, because I don't know. I just had a lot of cough syrup. And
that's been a running thing with you lately.
Well, you know.
Lots of cough syrup.
It happens. Yeah, everybody needs an escape. And that's Phantom. Did you see Phantom?
I didn't. No, I requested it and didn't get it either. No.
It's a submarine movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we talked about it when it came out in
we
theaters. Because I think I got I was able to get a screener of that back then. And it's about a real Russian. It's a real story, but it's, of course, they figure it out because they add a lot of stuff to it because there's no record of it.
Right.
It's about a sub that went rogue in 1968 and possibly was going to try and start a war with the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of the mission of the people in the Russians in the sub who were sort of trying to stop that from happening. And there's some stuff in there that's absolute hogwash, and there's some stuff in there that they add to put in to make it a little more movie-esque. But it's an interesting little movie, and what's neat about it is it's actually shot on a real sub.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. And so it's because they have these little video cameras, and then when you watch it, knowing it, you're like, wow, everyone's all cramped in there, and they mm-hmm. got pipes and stuff, and it's not styrofoam, it's real pipes that can bust your head open.
And it's Ed Harris.
And Ed Harris is in it, and William Fichtner's in it.
Well, there you go.
He's great. They're both great. And they got David Duchovny, who's kind of playing a version of himself. And he's the bad guy. But it's a neat little movie. I was surprised at how much I like it. And it's interesting knowing the special – if you watch the special features, you get a little bit of background on the real story, so you can watch that. So that's neat. There's the producers on Blu-ray, the original – Mel Brooks.
All right.
It was interesting.
It's been a long time since I saw that.
The Mel Brooks box set doesn't have it in there.
Really?
Yeah. It's
That's strange.
It's got like the 12 chairs, and I think it goes straight from the 12 chairs to like whatever the Young Frankenstein or whatever was next. So yeah, I don't know if this has had a Blu-ray release before, but it's there.
Oh, well, there you go.
It's also The Trouble with Harry is on Blu-ray. I think this has had a Blu-ray release before.
Okay.
This is one of Hitchcock's rare comedies. Do you like it? Have you seen it?
I haven't, no.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
It's got Shirley MacLaine in it.
Well, nice.
Not that that indicates a great movie, but it's a good
Shirley
movie.
Shirley MacLaine's in it.
Her in her younger days, you know, when she was doing movies like The Apartment. And then Kentucky Fried Movie, which is just a ripoff of Movie 43. Have you seen the Kentucky Fried Movie, haven't you?
I haven't.
You've got some work to do this week.
I know I do.
You need to stop at Best Buy, pick up some videos. This is a sketch comedy from the guys who did Airplane.
Right.
Zucker, Abrams, and Zucker.
I've seen parts of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a funny movie, and I think this is his first release on Blu-ray, so it's definitely worth checking out. And then Six Souls, which I don't know anything about. It's got Julianne Moore.
It's with Julianne Moore, and she plays a psychiatrist, I believe, who has a patient who has multiple personalities, and all of them are murder victims.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's that.
She has six
Could
personalities?
Be.
I'm guessing that's
There's a bunch, yeah.
They're in there somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know. I always find it interesting when you have a movie that has such a like a credible name attached to it, kind of going essentially direct to DVD.
There are a couple of credible names in this movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you see it?
I haven't. No.
Oh, God.
Again, I've been getting a lot of press releases.
There's also An American Girl, Sage Paints the Sky, which is actually the top pick on Amazon this week.
All right.
To show where that's all going.
That tells you what kind of a week we're having.
You've got a daughter, so you'll be seeing these movies a lot.
I know. It's amazing. You know, as soon as I got pregnant and found out that I was having a girl, I started getting a lot of things like My Little Pony and Strawberry Shortcake. So I have a lot of those in our collection now. Not that I wanted to watch them, but I have.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So the stinker this week, I don't have a stinker.
No. I can't say that I've really seen anything from this week.
There's not much else there.
No.
So we're going to have to wait till next week to figure all this out.
No.
So that's about it. Let's look at the reviews real quick. Despicable Me, we split on that one.
Mm-hmm. I said kind of rocks.
Oh, my gosh.
You said kind of sucks.
I said kind of
sucks. So confused.
That's mine.
Ugh, cough syrup.
No, I think that's one. I honestly think when I see it on Blu-ray, I'm going to like it better.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Maybe you'll see it and you'll be like, oh, this is annoying.
It could be.
You might get a change of heart.
Yeah.
The Lone Ranger, we split again.
This time I said it kind of sucks.
And I said it kind of rocks.
Yes.
But again, I have a feeling if I watch it on... I don't know what's going to happen when I watch this one again. I might be
you're
like,
you're
going to
sleep
okay.
through it. That's what you're going to do the second time.
Well, it's like John Carter. I felt a lot about this, like I felt about John Carter,
mm-hmm.
where I was like, there's parts I really like about it, but there's also parts that are kind of terrible.
Yeah, that's about right.
I don't know how exactly to handle that. And then Best Friends Forever, I said it kind of rocks. Definitely worth checking out on iTunes and various on-demand services. Box office predictions, you said 600 trillion?
No, I said a billion.
You changed it to a billion?
Okay, yeah. I'm going with a billion.
Let's be realistic.
Yeah.
So you said $1 billion for Despicable Me.
Yes.
I said, I think, what, 60 million for the 3-day spread?
Something like that.
And $500 quadrillion for the 5-day spread.
Okay, good.
With that, we're going to leave you, and we're going to talk next week about Grown Ups 2 and Pacific Rim.
See ya.